All right, guys, we welcome to Below the Belt Show, actress extraordinaire, who can be seen in this amazing, awesome, scary, creepy Netflix series, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It's Annette Rowley on the line. What's up, Annette?
Woohoo! Hello! Oh, not much.
Good to have you on Below the Belt Show. I'm a fan of the show. It's amazing. I actually just watched the pilot, but my co-host Sabrina has binge-watched the entire season.
I watched the entire season in one night.
You know what? That's
I was up till 5 a.m. What did you say?
Everybody seems to be binge-watching it. It's incredible. Everyone I know is binge-watching it. I've seen one episode.
Yeah, I saw all of them, and I was up till 5 a.m., yeah. And it was great.
That's awesome.
There's already critical acclaim for this series and that, and they're already greenlit season two, yeah?
Oh yeah. We've already been filming season two. They actually greenlit that before we even started season one. So
oh, wow.
So
was this already, I guess, planned to have the season two, or was it one of those things we had to wait for how the numbers come in and see if it was success?
It was Netflix right away. It was right out of the gate, two seasons, boom. It was, I think it was because of the success of Riverdale.
Yeah.
And they knew that the team had a good track record. And I mean, yeah, they're fantastic. They're amazing.
Nice. So obviously this is a spinoff of Riverdale. Will there be any crossovers or tie into the series, you think?
I can't say. I don't know. There's talk of it, obviously. I think Roberto's been hinting at some of it in his Twitter feed, but I honestly have no idea. It would all be conjecture at this point on my behalf.
Awesome. Well, first of all, tell us about your, auditioning for, playing Diane, Diane Spellman, the mother of the titular character. How did that go?
Oh, well, you know what? It's so funny because anyone who's an actor will understand this story where I went in, I had the worst morning. I have a daughter myself. She's 8 years old. And she is usually great spirits, very happy. That morning she was a mess and she was crying and it was insane. And I was hormonal and felt disgusting and didn't want to go in and didn't even brush my hair because I was like, screw that. And I went in and I was just like, I'm just going to get this over with. And actually just threw all my emotions into the audition and went, okay, that's done. And I left and heard back. Oh gosh, I don't even remember. I think it was the next day that I was being sent for consideration for the network. And I didn't really even know what the character was. They were being quite secretive about it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I would say about a week later that I realized, oh my gosh, I'm Sabrina's mom. And then I read the comic books and I went, oh my gosh, I'm Diana Spellman.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, obviously, okay. I mean, I guess we could talk a little bit about the character, right? So your character's a mortal and the husband, the father of Sabrina is a witch, right?
Yeah, he's warlock. Like a high warlock.
High priest warlock.
Yeah,
I was very disappointed when I found out that I was the mortal.
You wanted some witch powers, didn't you?
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Nice. So obviously, watching the pilot, we kind of get the idea that. You and your husband, your characters, are presumed dead. So, Sabrina, you've watched the entire season.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of hints to you guys being murdered.
Mm.
And I'm just, like, the story is that you guys died in a plane crash. But there's lots of talk about you guys being murdered because of your controversial marriage.
Right.
Sabrina's father marrying a mortal.
Yes. There's a lot of different theories that are coming out. And I tell you, Georgie and I have been creating our own theories the entire time since we started filming. So who knows which version is going to come true.
Okay. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. I think you guys were murdered.
I can't really talk about that part. Yeah,
well,
like,
I guess because the series is already dropped, you can see all episodes. I guess we're going into a little spoiler territory, I guess, but maybe we should play it safe for those that haven't seen everything yet.
I haven't seen it yet.
Are you prepared? Yes, and for my
it's
contract.
Very it dark.
Is, it is like my goat. I'm getting ready to watch
You're
it.
You're getting ready to watch
I,
it, okay.
I just finished Daredevil Season Ooh. 3 with your suggestion.
Right.
Yeah, so this is like next.
Oh, yeah, Sabrina's
definitely
next.
I didn't know Daredevil was released their Season 3.
They just did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm definitely going to check that out because I've already gone through Sabrina.
Yeah, yeah.
You're waiting.
By the way, it was very weird watching it because my name is never in anything, and it just was like, I was like, I feel like this is weird because I feel like I'm watching myself, but I'm not watching myself.
Her name is Sabrina.
It's very confusing. Very confusing.
But now let's not forget the 90s version of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Now, are there any tie-ins to the 90s series?
Not really, no.
No?
No,
it is
very, very different.
That I can think of.
Okay, because I had read that there were some Easter eggs, but I don't know if that's the case or not.
You know what? There might be. I'm going to have to do some research and see if there is. I mean, the '90s version was so much fun, and this one is a completely reinterpreted. It's not a spinoff. It's a reinvention based off of the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina horror comic book that came out, I think, back in 2014, which Roberto was a writer on. So it's really taking from that source material as opposed to the previous TV series.
Right.
And I know a lot. Yeah, there was a lot of confusion about that when this was first announced. But it's like, no, we can still hold our in our hearts that our nostalgic memories of that awesome TV series of the 90s,
right.
And then we can welcome this new one and let it scare the crap out of us.
Yeah, it's kind of like trying to compare Jack Nicholson as Batman to
Heath
Ledger.
Joker.
As Joker as Heath Ledger is to Joker.
Okay.
Like, it's very different.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very different.
Good.
They're very different takes.
Well, there was one homage, the fact that Hilda and Zelda love puzzles.
Liked puzzles in the movie too.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm just saying, as far as the tie-ins to Sabrina the Teenage Witch and The Adventures of Sabrina.
Ah.
One of the similarities.
Is there a talking cat in this movie?
Yeah. He doesn't really talk. I mean, he kind of does as his creature self, but not as the cat. But it's named Salem. But Salem is in all of the versions of Sabrina, like including the movie.
That's true.
So I think people also forget that the movie Sabrina was different from the show as well.
That's true. Yeah, I don't think they could have done it without Salem. I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Salem's in all of them, and Hilda and Zelda are in all of them as well. But the movie Sabrina the Teenage Witch was different from the show Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and this is different from that. So they're just all just different versions of this story.
Mm-hmm. So
let's talk about the amazing star of this series, Kiernan Shipka. What was it like working with her? She's great.
She is. That's a perfect explanation of Kiernan. She is great. I will say this forever, she is the hardest working actor right now, in my opinion. She is she is pulling crazy hours, and she is doing an amazing job, and like, her professionalism is second to none. I'm really, it's such an honor to work with her. So it's I can't speak higher of anyone else, really. She's great.
I heard she was also deathly allergic to cats.
I don't know if it was deathly, but yeah, from what I've heard, she had an allergic reaction to Salem the first time that they had them in the scene together.
Oh,
and
wow.
She didn't know she was allergic, so it caught everybody off guard. But it was dealt with, and I think Roberto has said that they considered switching to a dog, but no, we kept the cat.
You gotta keep the cat. Yeah.
I would have liked the dog personally. I love dogs.
and you know what's great? I think when they cast you, I think they had someone that had a similar look to Kiernan in mind. You know, because you know, you want to have that when you have a mother daughter role. There's some For me, if I was casting, and I think you're perfect in that way, because I could see you as the mother of Kiernan, you know, so it kind of works.
Mm. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, that's, you're very lovely, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you know what? That's another thing I really love about the show. I love that her cousin is obviously mixed with something, and no one addresses it. They're just like, meh.
Yeah.
I love that, actually, because I feel like you don't really, you just get used to their relationship, and you don't really need an explanation for why he's a different ethnicity. Whereas I feel a lot of shows feel like compelled to do that.
You can come up with it in your
own mind. Pardon me?
You can come up with the explanation in your own mind.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's, I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. 100%.
I got to give a props to your IMDb profile pic in that you're wearing a Star Wars shirt. Is that one of your favorite fandoms?
Oh my gosh, I'm such a nerd. Like,
I love you already. You're amazing.
That's amazing. I'm looking at your IMDb now. Look at that. That's a good shirt, too.
Yeah, you look fantastic.
Star Wars is a big one. I'm huge into sci-fi. So, like, I've been a Trekkie since I was born, probably. Here's the thing. If I could make a living off of just going to conventions for the rest of my life, I would do that.
Oh, heck yeah. You're going to get a bunch of them, I think. this fandom, anything in the fantasy, comic book, horror fandom.
Yeah.
The fans are very passionate about it, I've noticed.
And I'll just be walking around fangirling the whole time. I'll be like, oh, my gosh. it'll be the weirdest, like, Inception type. Situation.
Yeah. So, looking at your IMDb, though, noticing a lot of assistant director, a lot of AD work, production coordinator work, executive producing work. How did that happen? Going from behind the camera in such a capacity, and doing in front. And do you plan to do both going forward?
To be totally honest, I mean, I started as an actor. I've been acting professionally since I was 16. But I went off to theater school, got trained as a classical actor. Shakespeare's my jam. I absolutely love Shakespeare.
Nice.
Did a lot of theater. And then I came back into the film world and started producing and directing my own films back in my mid-20s. And then I still was acting throughout there a little bit, and then I had my child, and then I had a bout with colon cancer, so I was out of the biz for a little bit. I'm totally cured now.
Yay,
all is good.
Yay. Yes.
Yay.
That's good to hear. You got to be back for season two.
Yes. and it was after that I was like, I really am just going to jump headfirst into filmmaking and in whatever capacity. And I enjoy being on both sides of the camera.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for me to decide which area I would rather focus on. So I've just been like, I'll do both until I can't.
So the majority of stuff that you were behind the camera for were for your own personal projects?
A large portion of them. I mean, the production coordinating stuff is what I do kind of as my day job as an actor. I have a really great team that I work with that lets me go off and shoot my films and go audition and all that stuff. This is very rare, by the way. It's not very often that on the production side you can get away with this, so don't tell anybody.
I know a lot of people that do both. I mean, I myself, I'm someone who's multifaceted and both behind the camera and front of the camera, so I know what you mean.
I just find it really fulfilling, you know? Like, I love acting. I adore acting. It will always be my primary passion as far as film, the film world goes, and theater. But there's something about pushing paper that really gets me going. I love numbers. I love math. I love feeling that rush of getting a production together and seeing it through from the start to the finish. So I don't know if it's something that I'll ever give up entirely because I like it so much.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I saw that also you've appeared on an episode of X-Files.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah. That was my very first professional acting gig.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Back in the 90s. That was so much fun.
Redneck
sister.
I love it. Not many rednecks I know from Canada.
Mm-mm.
You know what's funny with that, though? I was up in the previous episode. It was a Christmas episode. And I was up for the young Scully. And I had two callbacks. And I remember the casting directors circling me like sharks going, oh, my gosh, she looks so much like her, like Gillian Anderson. And, oh, my gosh, we'll put some braces on her to straighten her teeth out a little bit. And it'll be great. And then I didn't book it. And my friend's, my best friend's dad was the first AD on it. So I got him to snoop around for me. And they had cast Gillian Anderson's younger sister.
Damn.
So I didn't get it. But then I got the very next thing I auditioned for. So I was like, yay, pity casting.
Yeah. Well, and what project was that?
That was The Exile.
Well, that's The Exile.
Oh!
That was the episode that she got.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
All my friends in high school called me the Young Scully for like 2 years after that.
Okay,
I came so close.
Got it. And then you end up getting the Redneck Sister set.
Now, this is just me being a nerd about it, but do you remember what episode you were in?
I was in episode...
11. Season 5, episode 11.
Is it not 13?
That's what it says here on the IMDb.
Oh, it was called Kill Switch. I remember that much.
Okay. I got to check this out.
Yeah.
It was...
I have to go back in my X-Files files.
It was an Emmy-winning episode or something like that. It was a really good episode. Everybody loved it.
Awesome.
Nice.
I love the X-Files.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What
awesome.
What about the sequel series that aired? Was it a year ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, any thoughts on bringing the Redneck Sister back?
I don't think anyone would recognize the Redneck Sister anymore. Oh my gosh, that was so long ago.
People want to know what she's been to, so it makes sense.
That was 20 years ago.
I know.
Holy crap.
Holy smoke, right? I know.
Yeah,
crazy.
Time flies.
this is an amazing, so Sabrina obviously is an amazing project. And, so has this led, has being in a high profile series like this, has this led to more auditions and any more other upcoming projects since then?
Oh gosh. I have had a couple more auditions. You know what? I've been so busy with a lot of publicity stuff and my own. Nice. I have a short film right now that I'm in post production for, as well as a documentary.
Okay.
So I've been working a lot on that short, and I haven't had a ton of time outside of all of my other projects. So no, it's mostly been Sabrina. The current TV series I'm working production on, and this short film of mine. So,
by the way, it's
called
still
Atypical Fairy Tale. I should probably
pump
that a little bit.
Yeah,
Atypical
definitely. Fairy Tale. It's this pet project of mine, passion project that I've had for a couple of years, and we were funded by one of the big media companies up in Canada.
Oh, cool.
Back in June, we shot it. It's all in rhyme. It's about a transgender child, basically, and how the parents deal with that child, letting them know that they are not the gender that they were born as. So it's really cute. It's very heartwarming, and it's, I think, the first time I've seen my inner brain on film. So I'm very proud of the work. Obviously,
wow.
There's still some...
Well, congratulations
that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah,
is that still in production?
In
Was that still in production? Are you still working on that?
Well, that one we're just fixing some of the visual effects. You can actually watch it on YouTube right now. If you search Atypical Fairy Tale, atypical is two different words. A typical fairy tale. But we pronounce it atypical because it's a pun. Get it?
That's good pun.
I get it. So,
I like to say it's Disney mixed with Wes Anderson. So
cool.
That's kind of the inspiration behind it.
That's awesome.
And I'm also reading here in that you actually wrapped your first documentary for my daughter, which is, I guess, about your cancer journey. And this is currently in post-production?
Yeah, we're in post-production on that one. We're just, it's a passion project. I'm doing that bit by bit because I'm self-funding that one. But, yeah, it's basically I met this woman at a cancer retreat a few years back, and we really clicked. She had colon cancer as well, and a daughter, and her marriage had recently broken up, as had mine. And the thing is, I was diagnosed stage 3B, and she was diagnosed stage 4. And 5 years post-diagnosis, I am now considered cured, and she is considered terminal. So it's a bit of a study and a comparison of those two stories and how they played out and how they kind of, it's a parallel story. It's hard, but I hope it'll be very eye-opening to people.
Yeah. It sounds like it will be. I mean, documentaries have gained so much popularity over the years, and if it touches on a subject that's
especially if it's a story that's important to tell.
Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely worth telling.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck on that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you. I know that was like a bit of a downer.
Yeah.
No, but the fact that you're okay, that you use your your witching powers from either Sabrina or the warlock have cleaned you of the cancerous spell.
That's right. They cleared me out.
Are you planning on putting this on YouTube as well when it finishes?
The documentary?
Yeah.
That one, I'll probably put it on YouTube after we do a festival circuit.
Oh, cool.
We didn't really
have much choice
with Atypical Fairy Tale because it's on through the Story Hive YouTube channel and Facebook page and all that stuff. There's several different ways that you can find Atypical Fairy Tale, but the documentary, I'll want to do my festival run first and then put it out for people to see.
Awesome. Thank you.
You also have A&E's Project Blue Book. Can you talk to us about that project?
Oh my gosh, that one was fun. Yeah, that one, I'm playing a mom again. Go figure.
Nice. Well, you're credited as mother, so yeah.
You know what's so funny, though? It's like, I am the least mommy person ever.
Is that right? Are you not an actual mom yourself?
Well, I am a mom, yeah, but I'm always the mom that people are like, what? You're a mom? No way.
Right. How old are your kids?
My daughter's 8.
Aww.
So yeah, she's a little cutie. She's out trick-or-treating right now dressed as Pokemon, who is she? Oh, she's Pikachu. That's right. I stole her Eevee ears to wear to work today.
Well, we don't want to hold you up because I know you're out trick-or-treating your daughter, and we love your show, The Chilling Adventures
of
Sabrina.
I love it.
We are happy to hear that season 2 is in production. I don't know whether you hinted or not that you'll be returning in some capacity, but we hope so.
Maybe. We'll see.
Awesome.
We will see.
So if you could,
say anything.
of course.
It is recorded. She has not said a thing.
She's not said a thing.
You're safe. If Netflix is watching.
So Annette, if you could, before we let you go, let us know who you are from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and you're on Below the Belt Show, and then throw out whatever you want at the end. A happy Halloween or anything like that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I'm Annette Riley. I am Diana Spellman on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. This is the Below the Belt Show. Have a spooktacular Halloween.
Perfect.
Yes!
Perfect.
That was awesome. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. You guys are all awesome.
You're awesome.
You are awesome.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
We'll talk to you later.
Happy Halloween.
Bye-bye. Bye. Happy Halloween.
Bye.